Some of the sounds of Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, is what it means. It's the Jewish New Year. We're going to talk a little bit in the last few minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. with Gretchen Passantino about Rosh Hashanah. She's co-founder of Answers in Action, based in Costa Mesa, California, and a regular guest here on Issues, Etc. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Gretchen, welcome back.
So much, Todd. It's always good to talk to you, and to talk to your listeners too. You always have such great callers with good questions.
You know, I could not tell you why the Western world celebrates its New Year on January 1st. I have no idea. But why do the Jews celebrate their New Year on Rosh Hashanah and a whole different calendar, really, than the rest of the world, at least religiously?
Well, sure. And for the Jews join a number of other ancient cultures in beginning their new year at the harvest. It's the time of the year when there is the greatest plenty, when the people are doing the best, when they have ceased from extensive labor of bringing in the harvest, and for many agricultural communities, placing the beginning of the new year at the harvest, when they have the greatest bounty, seems to make the most sense for them. One of the problems we have with Jewish reckoning, and actually it comes with Muslim reckoning too, is that both of them are based on the calendar. And of course, the moon goes through its cycles with a very regular 30 days. And because in our Gregorian calendar, we do that differently with 30 days half September and a couple of 31s. 28, except for leap year that gives us 29. Anyway, for that reason, Jewish holidays and Muslim holidays occur at different times on our calendar. At least for Rosh Hashanah, it's always at the end of the season, either early September, sometimes as late as early October, but somewhere in there based on the calendar.
Okay, what some of the ceremonies that are associated with Rosh Hashanah, the one that probably most people know, is the blowing of the shofar or the ram's horn. Sometimes it's a big 4-foot affair. Sometimes it's just a tiny little thing. What's it all about?
Well, particularly blowing the ram's horn is a sound of alert. It either announces the coming of the king in religious symbolism. It would be the coming of God, the coming of judgment, and Rosh Hashanah, since it is the beginning of the 10 days of contemplating one's sins leading up to Yom Kippur, that announcement of coming judgment is a very important part of it. Sometimes it's an announcement for a celebration or a festival, and of course, since this is a harvest festival, that meaning too. But primarily, Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the High Holy Days, and it is a time when people are called to pay attention to their lives, to look into their hearts, to think about the sins they've committed against God and their fellow man over the previous year, and to go through those things that God deems as proper to receive forgiveness for their sins. Now, of course, before the temple was destroyed in AD 70, the Jews would add animal sacrifices in the temple to that list of things to do. But all of those things, whether it's contemplating, praying, gathering together for a worship service, sharing a festival meal with the family, offering a sacrifice, or going actions like throwing bread or stones on flowing water as a symbol of throwing your sins away, all of those things are mere symbols of the genuine forgiveness that's only available in Jesus. Unfortunately, our Jewish humans are no different than any other humans, even many who have been raised in Christianity, who think that performing some sort of a human action or human decision can actually cure the problem of sin. None of that works. Only Jesus Christ can cure the problem of sin. All these other things are supposed to point us toward him.
Okay, so even though this is an ancient festival, it has its roots with the Old Testament people of God. Apart from the recognition of their Messiah and the world's Messiah, Jesus Christ, as the fulfiller and the sum and substance of what we would call the Old Testament, they would call the Scriptures, is there anything in the celebration of Rosh Hashanah that if you could point, if you had a Jewish friend, say, look, there's something that is truly fulfilled in Jesus, not in your good works?
I think the thing that would be the most meaningful to me is the common practice of throwing stones or pieces of bread on flowing water to symbolize throwing your sins away from you, declaring that you don't want to hold your sins to you anymore. You want them to be washed away by the clean water of God's power. This of flowing water is a symbol for the Holy Spirit, the cleansing power of God, is something that's throughout Scripture and the New Testament. I think of one of the most significant and moving stories in the New Testament. Jesus met a woman who was kind of a half-breed. She was sort of Jewish and sort of other stuff. She was considered a half-breed by more spiritual Jews, more pure Jews, and she water at a well. We find this in John chapter 4. And Jesus came and asked her for a drink of water, and she gave it to him. And then he said, you know, if you asked water from me, I would give you a water that you would never thirst from again, and it would give you eternal life. That sounds like a puzzle, except she was a Jewish woman who knew her scriptures, and she knew that Jesus was referring to the power of the Holy Spirit, and she knew that the Messiah would bring that Holy Spirit with him. And so she asked, she said, well, we know that that'll happen when the Messiah comes and the final judgment comes and the new kingdom comes. How can you tell me this now? And Jesus said that he Messiah. He was bringing the kingdom. He did have the Holy Spirit in him and offered that Spirit's power to cleanse her from sin. We know she only became a believer, but she told everybody in her village about it too, and many people began to follow Jesus from then. So John 4, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, like cleansing water, is a good example. Another one is in John chapter 7, where Jesus is at the temple for a Jewish festival, and he makes that he has come to declare the coming of the Holy Spirit that all of the Jews there around the temple would know comes with the Messiah. And he says, he talks about he is the true bread of heaven, and he talks about the water being the Holy Spirit. And he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That's in John chapter 7. The true answer to sin is Jesus, and the true cleansing power of the Holy Spirit is in Jesus Christ.
So when we see all of these rich traditions that the Jewish people hold to, and yet they hold to it, as Paul would say, without understanding of what maybe they're doing, not only culturally, but also their scriptural traditions, what is the best way to, without casting aspersions on those things that they do celebrate that are either neither here nor there or in fact biblical, what is the best way to approach them at a time like this? Or should we just let them do their Rosh Hashanah and worry about witnessing later?
I think that what we need to do is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to pray and to ask God to nudge us if there's an opportunity we can have to share with someone respectfully and personally. In one way, there is no answer to that question because every human being is unique and individual, and the way you approach one person on one day is not the way you're going to approach another person on another day. But in another way, the answer is always the same. There's only one answer, and that is the life of the gospel, the life of Jesus Christ. There, you know, we could talk about the things being outdated in Rosh Hashanah. We could talk about the missing, the messianic implications of Rosh Hashanah. We could talk about how most of the practices and commitments for Rosh Hashanah actually derived from after the time of Christ, 200 or 300 years after Christ, all the way into the Middle Ages. You know, that's interesting history. We may or may not be right. I mean, you know, that is correct historically, but that doesn't give us life. The gospel gives us life, and the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take advantage of Rosh Hashanah if you have a Jewish friend, and if you have the opportunity to talk to them respectfully and kindly, but don't wait for Rosh Hashanah. That only comes here. What's wrong with talking to your Jewish friend tomorrow or next week? We can always use the opportunities that God share what really is the good news, the gospel of Jesus.
Gretchen Pasentino is co-founder of Answers in Action based in Costa Mesa, California. Good friend and a regular guest. We got a direct link to Gretchen Pasentino and Answers in Action under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Gretchen, thanks so much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
When you come to the head of the beginning of a new year, whether you're counting it by the Jewish calendar or by the Western calendar, whatever calendar you want to use, everybody has that same kind of impulse. New year, new beginning. Sometimes we make resolutions. Isn't this interesting that even pagans will do this? People who have no religious affiliation whatsoever will say at the beginning of the new year, it's time to start over. What is that impulse? You see, the Jewish people at the beginning of their year say, time to start over, time to deal with the sin problem, but there's no permanent solution because they deny the only one who has come and through his shed blood offered the solution for the sins of all mankind. So the pagan says, I'm going to start all over again. Or the Jew says, I'm going to start all over again. Or the Muslim says, it's time to start all over again. Everything begins anew, a new creation, a new year in Jesus Christ. And that comes only with his shed blood for us at the cross. So whether it's the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, or the end of the year, it is always a good time to preach Christ and him crucified. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, etc., we'll talk about Jerome, a great translator of the Scriptures, with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Fight's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.